Chapter 16, A Specimen of a Catechetical Address, and First, The Case of a Catechumen with Worthy Views. 24. Nevertheless, however that may be, let us here suppose that someone has come to us who desires to be made a Christian, and who belongs indeed to the order of private persons, and yet not to the class of rustics, but to that of the city bred, such as those whom you cannot fail to come across in numbers in Carthage. Let us also suppose that, on being asked whether the inducement leading him to desire to be a Christian is any advantage looked for in the present life, or the rest which is hoped for after this life, he has answered that his inducement has been the rest that is yet to come. Then perchance such a person might be instructed by us in some such strain of address as the following: Thanks be to God, my brother. Cordially do I wish you joy, and I am glad on your account that, amid all the storms of this world, which are at once so great and so dangerous, you have bethought yourself of some true and certain security. For even in this life men go in quest of rest and security at the cost of heavy labours, but they fail to find such in consequence of their wicked lusts. For their thought is to find rest in things which are unquiet and which endure not. And these objects, inasmuch as they are withdrawn from them and pass away in the course of time, agitate them by fears and griefs, and suffer them not to enjoy tranquillity. For if it be that a man seeks to find his rest in wealth, he is rendered proud rather than at ease. Do we not see how many have lost their riches on a sudden? How many, too, have been undone by reason of them, either as they have been coveting to possess them, or as they have been borne down and despoiled of them by others more covetous than themselves? And even should they remain with the man all his life long, and never leave their lover, yet would he himself have to leave them at his death. For of what measure is the life of man, even if he lives to old age? Or when men desire for themselves old age, what else do they really desire but long infirmity? So too with the honours of this world, what are they but empty pride and vanity and peril of ruin? For Holy Scripture speaks in this wise: All flesh is grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures for ever. Consequently, if any man longs for true rest and true felicity, he ought to lift his hope off things which are mortal and transitory, and fix it on the word of the Lord, so that, cleaving to that which endures forever, he may himself together with it endure forever. 25. There are also other men who neither crave to be rich nor go about seeking the vain pomps of honours, but who nevertheless are minded to find their pleasure and rest in dainty meats, and in fornications, and in those theatres and spectacles which are at their disposal in great cities for nothing. But it fares with these too in the same way, or they waste their small means in luxury, and subsequently, under pressure of want, break out into thefts and burglaries, and at times even into highway robberies, and so they are suddenly filled with fears both numerous and great. And men who a little before were singing in the house of revelry are now dreaming of the sorrows of the prison. Moreover, in their eager devotion to the public spectacles, they come to resemble demons, as they incite men by their cries to wound each other, and instigate those who have done them no hurt to engage in furious contest with each other, while they seek to please an insane people. And if they perceive any such to be peaceably disposed, they straightway hate them and persecute them, and raise an outcry, asking that they should be beaten with clubs, as if they had been in collusion to cheat them. And this iniquity they force even the judge, who is the appointed avenger of iniquities, to perpetrate. On the other hand, if they observe such men exerting themselves in horrid hostilities against each other, whether they be those who are called cinta, or theatrical actors and players, or charioteers, or hunters, those wretched men whom they engage in conflicts and struggles, not only men with men, but even men with beasts, then the fiercer the fury with which they perceive these unhappy creatures rage against each other, the better they like them, and the greater the enjoyment they have in them. And they favour them when thus excited, and by so favouring them they excite them all the more, the spectators themselves striving more madly with each other as they espouse the cause of different combatants, than is the case even with those very men whose madness they madly provoke, while at the same time they also long to be spectators of the same in their mad frenzy. How then can that mind keep the soundness of peace which feeds on strifes and contentions? For just as is the food which is received, such is the health which results. In fine, although mad pleasures are no pleasures, Nevertheless, let these things be taken as they are, and it still remains the case that whatever their nature may be, and whatever the measure of enjoyment yielded by the boasts of riches, and the inflation of honours, and the spendthrift pleasures of the taverns, and the contests of the theatres, and the impurity of fornications, and the pruriency of the baths, they are all things of which one little fever deprives us, while, even from those who still survive, it takes away the whole false happiness of their life. Then there remains only a void and wounded conscience, destined to apprehend that God as a judge, whom it refused to have as a father, and destined also to find a severe lord in him, whom it scorned to seek and love as a tender father. But you, inasmuch as you seek that true rest which is promised to Christians after this life, will taste the same sweet and pleasant rest even here, among the bitterest troubles of this life, if you continue to love the commandments of him who has promised the same. For quickly will you feel that the fruits of righteousness are sweeter than those of unrighteousness, and that a man finds a more genuine and pleasurable joy in the possession of a good conscience in the midst of troubles than in that of an evil conscience in the midst of delights. For you have not come to be united to the Church of God with the idea of seeking from it any temporal advantage.